from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Tim Murray is, of course, the host of VSiN Primetime, airing weeknights from 5 until 8 p.m. Central Time. He's also the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. He's about to go record an episode that will drop this week. Episodes available each and every week. He's got his season previews. This is a great time as we get ready for next week. We've even got week zero. It's a good time to get ready for that. He's on Twitter, at one Tim Murray. Tim, I guess let's start here. I did not expect to open up my sports book and see that FCS Montana State is laying 11.5 against Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah, it's on the move too, mm-hmm. man. And you know, it's funny because over the summer on that podcast you referenced, I was speculating, just talking out loud to nobody, as that's what podcasts are, thinking, hey, what kind of number are we going to get here on Montana State at New Mexico? Are we going to get like a rogue Montana State pick 'em? Nope. Open 4.5 at FanDuel, and it quickly got ballooned out to like 9, 9.5, and then this week it's been steady one-way action on the Bobcats of Montana State. So, look, I think this has gone a little too far. I believe I asked Stanford Steve to check in with all the ESPN stats and info people, and I believe this is the biggest spread we've seen from an FCS team over an FBS team in like 10 years. So, yeah, pretty rare to see this, but Bronco Mendenhall, I think he'll win some games there at some point, and they do have Dampier's an interesting quarterback down there for the Lobos, but yeah, could be a tough opening. I'm not laying 11.5 though with Montana State. I can't do that.
Did he also include any info of what the results were of those previous matchups?
So he let me know. So a couple of years ago, Villanova was almost a touchdown favorite over UConn, and UConn actually won that game. And then he told me the last spread like this was 2013. Old Dominion was a 2-touchdown favorite versus Idaho. Interestingly enough, Idaho is now FCS, and Old Dominion's now FBS, but they weren't at that time. And then Jacksonville State, he told me, was a 10.5-point favorite over Georgia State. So I will let me go back in the old internet here and see Old Dominion versus Idaho in 2013, and it looks like Old Dominion smoked them by 21.
59-38. All right, so here's the one I really want to discuss, because, of course, the big game of the week over in Dublin, we've got Florida State taking on Georgia Tech. Right now, I see it at 11. What did that open at?
14.
Did it ever cross over 14?
I don't know if we ever got. I'm looking at some. So Circa got to 14. DraftKings never got to 14. Westgate Superbook never got to 14. Caesars never got to. So one spot hit 14,
yeah,
and that was it. It never got past 14. And, yeah, this week has been a pretty steady movement towards the old rambling wreck over at Aviva Stadium.
Because my instinct kind of says neighbor Nick likes Georgia Tech.
I know. I got a text today from a buddy of mine asking about Florida State at 10.5. I'll be honest, man. You know, I just maybe this is me being a good boy, but I just of these four games, the only one that maybe I would look to be involved in is the late night get back game in Hawaii, which we can get to momentarily. But I just here's what I'll say about Georgia Tech. Is I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe the Bet the Board podcast, which is Todd Furman, Payne Insider, and Brad Powers when they do college football, I believe they gave out under Georgia Tech when they previewed the ACC because of the schedule. I think it was like 5.5 at the time. But I'm telling you right now, Georgia Tech is going to pick someone off. I'm not saying it's going to be this weekend, but I'm looking at Louisville, I'm looking at UNC, neutral site Notre Dame, at Virginia Tech, home to Miami, at home to NC State. I don't think they'll pick off Georgia, but I think they're going to be a pretty decent team this year, but I don't know if the wins are necessarily going to be shown just because the schedule's pretty challenging, man. I mean, they play all three.
Yeah, they play good teams in the
league. They avoid Clemson, but they play the... You know, they play NC State, they play Miami, they play Florida State. Those are three of the top four teams in the odds. Louisville's up there, too. Virginia Tech is kind of the darling this year, and they also get Notre Dame in that ACC agreement. So the schedule's pretty brutal there for Georgia Tech.
The other one that I've seen proposed is whatever the number is with SMU, lay it, because that's how bad Nevada is.
Came down today a little bit. I was surprised. So I don't know what happened today, but we saw a pretty quick movement. So this thing hit 27, and today we actually saw Nevada money come into the market. Now, I don't know if that's people trying to... Well, it might be a middle situation because we've got a couple games in week zero and week one. And for those unaware what middle means is you take both sides and you hope that it lands in the middle of, you know, you lay, you know, if you got in early on Nevada, you could have laid 20.5. And now in theory, you could come back and take 27. And if it lands 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, then you win both bets. It's a glorious thing when you can get it.
You feel like you literally.
It's very rare.
You feel like the smartest human being alive when you actually hit a middle.
More often than not, you usually do it in game, right? You have a pregame position, and then you're able to come in game and get a middle there. But with these lines being up as long as they are, maybe you know that's the fact that situation, or maybe people believe that the market's gone too far with you know Chuba Purdy being out for Nevada, and then Brendan Lewis, I believe, is going to be the starter.
That sounds right. He's a MAC guy, right?
He's not very good. He was at Nevada last year. I would probably take the ponies, lay it with the ponies here. I know we're all jonesing for it, and I don't want to be the guy, you know, the lame guy. Well, we missed the best number, but it kind of feels like you did in a lot of these cases, you know?
Well, we may have missed the best number. I'm still betting the game, so what do you like?
There you go. I'll be honest. The only game that I would look to bet would be Hawaii. I would lay it with Hawaii. I think you can get a 38
really?
Out there. Yeah, I think Hawaii's going to be good this year, and I think Delaware State's a train wreck, and I don't know if you saw the news today, but Delaware State missed their flight.
Ah!
Yeah. They were apparently to Hawaii.
It's a big flight.
There's plenty of flights from Delaware to Honolulu.
Apparently.
And you know they're flying commercial.
Yo, yeah. They were driving to JFK. For those unaware with Mid-Atlantic geography, I'll give you a quick update. Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia, closer to Dover, Delaware than JFK, which is in New York City. But apparently they went to JFK to fly out, and they missed their flight. So I don't know what's next.
So they missed it, or did the flight get, like, canceled on them.
All right, here is, let's see if I could read.
So, like, did their bus not get there in time? Like, they get stuck in traffic?
This is
insane.
Delaware State spokeswoman confirms Hornets missed today's 10.5-hour flight to Honolulu because of a bus snafu to JFK. We're working on a plan, she said. Yes, that was the report out there, first reported by Gary Dickman, a radio host in Honolulu.
They're working on a plan to get to Hawaii from Delaware.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking up flights out of JFK.
So while you look that up, the one worry obviously would be this. Hawaii's leading receiver, Stephen McBride, he's not listed on the depth chart. He had an off-the-field situation where he was suspended indefinitely. I was told he had returned to team practice, but there's another thing that's holding him out. So it does look like Hawaii will be a little bit of a little behind the eight ball without their top receiver and Stephen McBride. But I tell you what, man, and maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid that he told me, but we had Timmy Chang in studio, head coach of Hawaii. My goodness, he was fired up. I mean, he loves this team. Braden Schrager's back for another year as their quarterback. And I just, Hawaii doesn't have many opportunities to blow out teams. And I guess the lone worry about laying that big of a number would be this.
They don't play defense?
Well, and that UCLA is in the week one, and that's going to be an enormous game for them, and they're going to want to maybe get out of Dodge. So maybe you could look first half if you want to go that route, lay 21.5 in the opening half. That could be a possibility. So if you're jonesing for that late night action, the only thing I would look at, and it's not even like a, you know, stone cold lock. I think Hawaii's good this year. I bet their season win total over earlier in the summer at 4.5. Fortunately, that's moved in my direction, which is what you always love to see. I think this team should be a bowl team. And they play Delaware State, who I believe, according to I forget who does FCS ratings too.
Bill does them. Conley does them.
I know Conley does them. There was someone else out there who did them, but they're like one of the worst FCS teams out there. Oh, by the way, Evan Abrams pointed out over at the Action Network, I think Hawaii in openers is like 12-2 ATS. So they've tended to fare well in openers. So got to lay a lot of chalk there, but that would probably be the only way I would do it.
All right, there are two directs from JFK to Honolulu. You got a Delta flight, and then you got a Hawaiian Airlines flight. Here's the question, though. How many planes are going to have 75 available seats?
Not many.
Or even I mean, because, you know, they're going to take coaches, so 85, yeah.
They're not, I mean, yeah.
They're going to have to split up.
They're going to do the move. Half of them are going to fly
to, like.
What
do they do with all their equipment? Like, you can't check. I don't know, man. Like, yeah. Majority of. This is wild. But here's.
I legitimately think you're just going to. Every player's going to have to be in charge of his equipment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because they're going to be on five different flights. There's no way you're being able to, like, split up and get on that many seats. Like, there's no way there's 50 open seats on each plane.
So think about it this way, right? Florida State and Georgia Tech play in a foreign country in week one or week zero this weekend. Their flight is shorter than Delaware State's flight to Hawaii. And then we're thinking about time zones. It's the same. It's a 5-hour difference time zone wise.
It's always easier to fly west, though.
Florida State, and true, we get to stay up later.
But interesting, like, because you see all the schedules, and it's like in parentheses in Dublin, Ireland. Like, it really should be these in parentheses. Because it's not close to Delaware.
I think
it is a complete, like, the far side of one part of the country all the way over to as far as you can go.
I mean, the only way you can be far, like, if you're flying from Maine, I guess you could be farther.
Yeah. So it's not close. I got to find out how I can. What Spectrum pay per view? How do
I was going to ask? Do we know? Like,
can I watch this game? I want to watch it now.
Are we?
I think they're. So I'll get back to you guys.
Because normally, what we have to do,
there's usually like an app that we can get it. But
yeah.
Like, I do believe Spectrum. If you want to watch it on your television, I believe you got to pay.
Which is
hilarious.
I know we used to be able to get like a stream that would have like a black box in the middle of it, and so you could like hear the score. This is usually one that we degenerates. We usually just follow on the score app.
Yeah, it's maybe that's the move, especially for you guys. I think this game's starting at 11 p.m. Central time. So, I mean, it would be the perfect late night game on CBS Sports Network. But not the case. However, Hawaii, by the way, big CBS week one against UCLA. That's gonna be pretty cool.
This feels like a lighter week zero than usual, which I don't know if I'm in favor of or not.
Well, and I thought, last year we had Notre Dame Navy.
We had a lot of those. Remember, CUSA was able to use it as a debut.
Yeah. So last year, I'm looking it up right now. Week zero last year, we had USC, San Jose State, San Diego State, Ohio, UTEP, Jacksonville State, Hawaii, Vanderbilt, UMass, New Mexico State, FIU, La Tech, and then the Ireland game, Notre Dame and Navy. So we had seven FBS versus FBS games in week one. This year we have two, and then we have two other FCS versus FBS games. So, you're not wrong. It is definitely a much lighter slate. And you know what also kind of annoyed me, and we could talk more about this next week, is the fact that we only have one game on that Sunday. Last year we had three.
The week one Sunday?
Yeah, USC LSU. But
that one I feel like though was unusual. I feel like we got the Sunday night game and then a Monday night game.
Yeah, we still have the Monday night game. That's Boston College.
Because we had like a San Jose State, Oregon State, right?
Good memory.
That was a win. I can remember the wins.
And then we had Rutgers beat up on Northwestern, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds right. Because we didn't have CBS. Our CBS affiliate was in a carriage dispute, and I had to get out the old bunny ears or whatever, the digital antenna to watch that bad boy.
Yeah, Rutgers beat Northwestern 24-7.
Yeah.
Oregon State smashed San Jose State, despite market moving against Oregon State.
Yeah, I was happy.
And then Florida State put it on LSU late in that one.
But there should be more Sunday games, and if the NFL's not playing,
because it's their weekend, man. It's their weekend. I feel like they kind of college football. I would say all in all, the Saturday's really good. It's stretched out, in my opinion, pretty well, where you've got Clemson, Georgia, Florida, Miami, and then Notre Dame, Texas A&M. So I think for the most part, that Saturday spread out decently well. Penn State, West Virginia's big noon kickoff too. But the Friday slate is pretty meh. Next week, TCU Stanford probably is your best game. And the Thursday slate, usually you get at least a ranked team. Our Thursday game is UNC Minnesota, which it's a close from a point spread perspective. It's close. It's 2.5 in favor of the Gophers. But yeah, that I don't know, man. I'm not one to complain. We got football. I'm happy for it. I'm excited for Georgia Tech, Florida State. I think it could be entertaining. Curious to see how DJ Uiagalelei looks there at Florida State with another coach that obviously you guys know well in Memphis that is known to be pretty good with quarterbacks, but he's no Jordan Travis.
Wonder if he's going to run him. I bet Mike runs him a lot. All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
All right, boys, talk to you next week.
That is, of course, Tim Murray of VSiN, VSiN Primetime, also VSiN's college football betting podcast, available each and every week. Make sure you download that as well. Not a great week zero. I'm just trying to think that Thursday mentions. All right, Arkansas, I think that's smart. Arkansas, get your old Pine Bluff game out of the way. Get that on Thursday. Let your fan base have Labor Day by themselves.
Yeah.
God, Minnesota, he is. I feel like every time when I think about the Thursday before Labor Day, yeah, I'm just watching Minnesota play a 13-10 game in a game that I don't care about.
Right.
And that feels like that's who opens up. Deion, of course, will be on that night. They've got an awkward matchup with North Dakota State.
But college football is not they're so strategic, with all this conference realignment and all the cash flowing everywhere. It does seem somebody's missing the opportunities here of truly scheduling out that weekend, because the NFL would be doing it, and their NFL doesn't care about what day of week it is anymore, and they're just putting games where they want to put games. And you have this one very particular weekend every year that there is no NFL yet. So people are ready for football. You should be loading up that Sunday. That Friday should have more marquee matchups. This is week zero, whatever, because week zero, it's a newer thing, and this weekend is gives you a chance to play around. I'm interested in all the four games we got Saturday, but to the point, just give us a great opening weekend.
Okay, so...
Just put games. They don't even have to be great games. Just give me some more on Sunday.
So I was trying to think... Like, I was thinking... When he's mentioning that, I'm thinking, what would be the reasoning for this? All right.
Yeah, what would be?
So ESPN also has the rights, and they blow out U.S. Open tennis.
Ah.
And so I can see where, all right, they're not wanting to do it. The question, though, for me is, I was trying to look back to that Sunday, so...
It is about inventory. Yeah, so ESPN would be it.
I believe both the Oregon State and the Rutgers games we were talking about, I think they were both on CBS. And so I think that... No, because I was trying to think,
they would have to be games with conferences with deals beyond ESPN to make it work if they're dealing with the Open.
Yeah, I think both those games are on CBS, so I don't know, like... I mean, it's also possible Fox has to license out Big Ten games to CBS and to NBC. That's how their agreement works.
Right.
Maybe they just didn't want to do it. Because last year there was still only one ESPN game on, and so that's what we still have. But I have no idea. I'm with you. Like, and also, if I'm a school that's like trying to get some exposure, I'd play on the Sunday.
You'd play it for sure. I can't see a reason why you wouldn't play on Sunday. That Sunday should be loaded every year. Should be with some college football. It doesn't have to be marquee games. You said everybody's always interested at the week one.
Listen, I watched every snap of San Jose State, Oregon State,
and we can find it. You never know when a storyline's going to develop, right? We've got this Delaware State Hawaii game. There's so much intrigue now with the team missing their flight to Hawaii.
My dad texted me, "Why didn't they charter?" Dad, it's Delaware State.
It's Delaware State.
Like, there's no way they could afford that. Like, they're trying to make that. I mean, I am curious to know. There's no way you're going to be able to get a direct.
Right.
So you're going to have to send, like, half your team to, like, San Francisco, half your team to, like, L.A., and then they're going to have to fly from those places. Or it might even have to be, like, some are going to Seattle, some are going to L.A., some are going to San Francisco, some are going to Salt Lake. And he is, like, I think, like, it's a legitimate question. Like, how are you getting your equipment there?
Because
you got to think, a lot of these teams, what they do is they pack all their equipment and, like, load it up together.
But, I mean, Hawaii is paying them to go to the game, right?
I doubt Hawaii does buy games.
You don't think they pay you at all? You just go, it's a vacation?
Yeah, I think you do it as to get a game in Hawaii.
Just to get a game in Hawaii?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's not a buy game.
I wouldn't think Hawaii's paying for a buy game.
Well, what is it? It just seems like very, you know, out of Delaware State's budget.
I mean, there's also a question
of, that's what,
like,
they're trying to do. They may try to get that Allegiant flight.
What is a bus snafu? What does that count as?
I mean, I'm sure we're going to find out. Is it a flat tire on a bus? Those are hard to change.
I mean, the only thing is, like, you have to have engine failure, right?
You think the engine. It has to be... Could it be a speed situation?
But, I mean, there's no... They left so early. There's no way, like, it was some type of legal dispute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.